Daf Chaf Vav. So we got to the top line of Chaf Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, "Debei Bar Merion Brei Duravin, ki have a napte kisna." When he'd be shaking out his shirt, have a ozla raksa, the dust would come out. And Matzki Inish, she was apparently a very violent, cloth shaker, and he'd injure people. It's like the guy with the talus, putting the talus and wraps around his head and whacks the guy behind him. So I guess that's how Debei Bar Merion. That's how they did the shaking of the cloth. So anyways, also lakami de Ravina. So he went to Ravina and said he owes us money. He's hurting us. He's damaging us. So Amar Lahu, so Ravina Paskins, ki amrinan, when we say that you're chayiv, mo de rabiosi bigir delay. Only if there is going to be nezek at the moment where you're shaking it, where it's mamish like the arrow being shot out. Bahani mile de ka azli bekocha. That's only when it goes from your own koach. When you pull back that arrow, the bow, and shoot the arrow. But when it comes to this case, here it's the wind that causes it. Yeah, he's shaking it, but it's the wind that's causing the dust to come out and damage the person. It's not all from the koach of the mazik. In this case, therefore, Ravina Paskins, there would be it would not be chayiv in nezek. So asks the Gemara, Maskivla Mar Bar Ravashi, Maishna Mizora V'Ruach Mesayaso. The halacha when it comes to Shabbos, the Zohar is one of the malachas of Sidur Depas. It's winnowing. So you take all the, after taking out the wheat and you crumble a little bit, you throw up in the air, as we know, and the wind blows all the chaff across, all the light stuff, and the kernels drop to the bottom. So I'm chayiv malacha Shabbos for that, even though the wind did it, even though the ruach is mesayaso. So here as well, even though the wind, when I was shaking my cloth, the wind caused the dust to move, I should be chayiv nezek as well. What's the difference between nezek and halacha Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amru kame de maremar. So they said the shaila in front of maremar, and he says, Amr lahu, hainu zora ruach mesayasu. It's the same exact din. You're actually chayiv nezek. Meaning he argues on Ravina. Ravina doesn't tell us what the chiluk is. Ravina says you're chayiv in melecha Shabbos. Everyone agrees to that, even though the ruach is helping you. But you're pater in nezikin. That's Ravina shita. But comes along Mar Barvashi, says, no, you're chayiv both in melecha Shabbos, and you're also chayiv in nezek. So the machlokas by nezikin. So what's the machlokas here? So there's a machlokas to show them how to understand this machlokas. I don't want to get too involved because there's so many different layers here. But according to Tosos writes, the difference between melecha Shabbos and nezek, according to Ravina, he says, melecha, when it comes to Shabbos, you require melechas machsheves. I'm going to assume that means a totsah oriented. I don't care how it gets there. If in the end of the day, my stuff is separated, the chaff is over there and the kernels are here, I've accomplished my goal. That's melechas machsheves, I'm chayiv. When it comes to nezikin, it's more about the mice in nezikin. Since the mice in nezikin was through grumma, some indirect act of the wind coming, so therefore it wasn't considered mice in nezikin, in which case you'd be pater and nezek. That's Ravina's shita. And according to Tosos, Marbar Rashi has a different shot in this, but again, it gets very complicated, all the different shittas. But that's a very basic understanding of the chilek between Nezek and Hilchel Shabbos. Now look at Tosos here for a second, before you go weiter. Tosos Dibur Maskil Zika, who de Kamamtile. So the wind causes the dust to go damage, and that's why Ravina says, I'm Pater. So Tosos asks a very basic question, Vikasha Lari, Dilachai Mishim Esh. What do you mean? Shouldn't you be chayiv eish, even though the wind caused it to go? You remember the sugyas about makama? If I leave a rock, a knife, or a package on the top of my roof, comes along a very common wind and knocks it off my knife from the roof, the hezikah caused damage, you're chayiv mishim eish. That was all the wind. It was left on top of the roof, but the wind caused it to knock over. So we see that ruach is a din of eish. So here as well, ruach should be a din of eish. I should be chayiv in nezek. So jump down in this Tosfos. I don't want to go through all the rayas here, but look at Tosfos v'omer ri. It's around 10 lines in Tosfos. The last word on the line, v'omer ri, de lo dami l'eish. Our case is not similar to fire. De ein chayiv mishum eish ela kishasa adam et eish levado. If you create the fire, I create the knife and I position the rock in such a place, and then the wind comes afterwards, so I'm chayiv because I created the chefsa shel mazik, that existed because of me. The fire existed because of me. But in this case, he says, aval, a few lines down, hach, in the case of the dust, ein osa levado kolikar el aide ruach. I didn't create the dust. The wind, when I shook and the wind came at that same time, the wind created the chefsa shel, the dust of that mazik, and cause the nezek. That's less of my, I have less of an involvement in this case, for that's why your pater in this case, it doesn't qualify as eish. Fine, the Gemara now says, last few lines before the Mishnah. So Ravina says, you're pater in the case where I'm shaking out my cloth and the wind blows the dust. So asks the Gemara, the Ravina, Mishna mi gates. Why is it any different when a spark goes out? The Amar, the Hayotzi mitachas apatish. If I'm hitting a hammer and a spark goes out of it, hizik, and hurts someone or damages a property, I'm chayiv. Chayiv l'shalim. Why is that any different? Isn't that the wind that caused the spark to fly across and damage someone or something? So why is that chayiv? But the case of the dust and putter. So answers the Gemara, Hasam nichalei dilezel, hacha lo nichalei dilezel. When it comes to the spark, I actually want the spark out of my house. I'd rather the wind blow it away. So that's nichalei. I don't want it to cause a fire in my house. So that's okay. When it comes to the dust, I actually don't want the dust to go away. Rabbeinu Gershom, I'm not sure if you have Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of your page. I have one. He says there must be some tzorech you need the dust for that's in the cloth. So I don't want the dust. I'd rather the dust remain here in my house. So when it goes out, I don't want that to happen. And therefore, if it does, I'm pater from nezikin. Okay, the Mishnah now tells us that Loita Adam Ilam Samich Lesadachadera. I can't plant a tree next to my friend's property. Elam Kain Hirchuk Mimenu Arba Amos. Unless I have a distance of Dal Amos. We've already seen this Mishnah quoted before. And the reason is, says Rashi, because you need Kedei Avodas HaKerem. You need some space to move the plow around the trees. Now, according to other Rishon, Rabbeinu Gershom says no, because the tree needs some space just to grow. It needs just like, you know, feel like it claustrophobic. So the tree is, it gets claustrophobic if it's too close. It could be, if it's too close to the field. Not because of the plow going around it. It just needs some extra space. You've seen probably some trees that, you know, they're growing there. They'll leave like a little area around, like a fence around the tree, just for some extra space for it. Not because you need to move the plow, but Ravcha is beneficial for the tree. So that's Machlokas, why you need the Dalid Amos. So then the Mishnah says, Echad gefanim ve'echad kol ilam. Whether it's a grapevine that you're growing or whether it's just a regular tree, it needs that same dalad amos around the trees. So let's say haya geder bein tzayim. There's a wall in between, a fence. Zeh samech legeder mikan, zeh samech legeder mikan. Each neighbor is able to put their tree up against the wall. Then there's no requirement for distancing anymore. So hayu shrushim yotzim latoch shel chaver. Let's say that my tree, the roots are beginning to grow into your property now. So you are able to mamik shlosha tfachim kidei shel yaakev esamachresha. You're allowed to dig 3 tfachim deep into your property and remove my roots because it's going to affect your plow working in your property. Now Rambam deals with the question. He says, wait a second. If you cut my roots off, you're going to kill my tree. Isn't that in essence killing my tree? How is that permitted? Isn't that mazik? So Rambam explains that no, when you cut the roots off, that cutting isn't mazik my tree. What it does indirectly, it no longer allows my tree to get nourishment from your property. But it's not damaging my tree. It's indirect. So therefore, it's permitted. It's not considered nezek, since again, the cutting of the roots are not the problem. It's now that my roots cannot draw any yanika anymore. That's the problem, which again, is not my fault as the neighbor, in which case I'm not chayiv. I'm allowed to dig 3 tfachim deep. Then the Mishnah concludes, Hayah chofer bor shiachu ma'ara, if I'm digging a pit of some sort or any of these other types of a cave, so then I can be kotet to the yored va'etim shel. I could go as deep as I want and you get to keep the etim. So it's unclear who gets to keep the etim. Is it the guy whose property is cutting down or the guy who owns the tree? That the Gemara is going to address on Amar Beis. Fine. So now the Gemara says, Tana arba amos she'amru kedev odas karam. The reason why you need Arba Amos is enough to work around the vineyard, either because you need the Machrisha to walk around, or because you need just some extra space for the vines to grow. So Amar Shmuel says, this whole halacha of Dal Amos lo shanu ela be'eretz Yisrael. Aval be'bavel shtei Amos. When it comes to Bavel, all you need is 2 Amos around between the properties. Now the reason for this, Rashi explains, is because Aval be'bavel shtei Amos is enough, shemachrishasan k'tara. Apparently they had shorter types of plows, that's all. So they have bigger plows in Eretz Yisrael and smaller plows in Bavel, in which case, the post can point out, depending on where you live and the size of the Machrisha, that's going to dictate how much space. If you live in an area where they use big plows, and then you need 6 or 8 amos. It all depends on where you live.
Now, what I don't understand is, the reason for the Machrisha is because it's going to ruin the tree, or because the guy... So what? So the guy has to move his... Meaning he's coming to the border. It's sort of a matter of hazard from roots. So it's his problem that he cannot put the Maharisha through.
It says he has to get the plow around the tree, which causes him to go on the other person's property.
Is that what it is?
Yes, yeah, so you look at Rashi, that's what Rashi says.
Ah.
So you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Samech L'Sadeh Chavero. Rashi writes, Bein Sadeh HaLavan, Bein Sadeh HaIlan. V'tayma k'dei avod ha-sakarim, sh'kishe yachrosh es ilan ha-sof. When I go around my tree, lo yehet tzarech lahach nichz mecharishaso l'toch sadeh chavero. So I need that buffer to allow the, so to make sure it doesn't go on his property line. I'm doing it all on my property.
I still don't answer. I mean, that's the guy from the tree who's going to go to the site?
Yeah, if I own the tree, if I put it so close to your property line, when I go around in my little tractor, I'm going to end up going on your property. So I need to distance 4 amos from the property line, which enough space for me to go around my tree without having to infringe on your property.
Who says you have to go around the tree? The tree doesn't need a machresha.
Yeah, when's the last time you planted a tree? Apparently that's what they assume. I don't know.
Unless the guy wants to put other stuff next to the tree.
No. I think that's part of maintaining the tree is going around, making sure the dirt is clean.
Ah.
Not to plant things. Machresha isn't only to plant. It's just to soften the ground.
Okay.
I don't know when my gardener
the
comes.
The issue is not the guy from the other side. The issue,
right.
Okay, now I understand.
Yeah. Like, I know my gardener, he'll come to the tree and he'll make the dirt soft around the tree, even though I'm not planting anything.
Right.
The softening of the ground apparently is beneficial for the tree. Fine. So that's the need for it. And that's, by the way, why when there's a fence up there, you can go as close as you want, because I'm not going to go through the fence. So if I decide to put my tree up against the fence, I'm losing out my own space.
Right.
And so that's up to me.
Okay.
Now, the reason why in Bavel you only need 2 amos is because in Bavel they use this smaller machrisha. In Eretz Yisrael they use a larger one, or some say because they had oxen that were really leading the machrisha, so you needed more space for the oxen. Now, others say the reason is because the ground is softer versus hard. In Eretz Yisrael, the ground is very kasha, so then you need a bigger machrisha. That's the reason why you need more space, as opposed to in Bavel, softer ground, you didn't need to dig out so much. It's enough to just soften the ground that's within 2 amos radius around the tree.
Isn't there a separate set of halachas, the Gavik Kilayim, of how far you have to have, in other words, you can't have...
When it comes to Kilayim, the din is... Yeah, that's not nothing to do with this part here. When it comes to Kilayim, you have to have a separation. Now, that separation could be even a Tzuras HaPesach, whereby even though it could be open, if I have a Kanamikan, Vekana Agabeyim, a pole here, a pole here, and a pole there, and it's completely open. If I put my Chita here and my Geffen right on the other side, that's completely mutter.
So as long as you have that much.
That separation. That's actually the first...
Much more already.
But
yeah.
That's only because it's Tzuras HaPetach.
Exactly, yeah.
If it's not, you need far b'amo.
You need separation, exactly. I'm just pointing out that you can go as close as you want,
meaning
in theory.
Meaning Tzuras HaPetach is considered like a wall.
Exactly. Even though physically it's not,
right.
Even though they're going to be nourishing from each other,
right.
We learn halachas of Erevin from Kalayim, even though you would think that, you know, it's all about the unika. It's not the case when it comes to Kalayim. You need a separation of Dalat Amos, or some type of wall between the climb. So now the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says as well, Lo yita adam ilan samuch l'sada chavero, ela imkein hirchak mimenu shtei amos. You only need 2 amos. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'honan tan, doesn't our mission require 4 amos? Se'ela lav kiddush Shmuel, must be like Shmuel, that there's a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the mission was written in Eretz Yisrael requiring dal amos. Apparently the Braisa was either written or referring to Bavel, requiring only 2 amos. And the Gemara says the other presented this situation, this as a question. Vika the Ramila Mirma wanted to say a question. Tanan lo yita adam ilan samach l'sade chaver olam kin hirchak mena 4 amos. Our Mishnah says dal amos, but v'hatanya 2 amos. So comes along Amr Shmuel lo kashya kan be Bavel kan be Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now the Gemara is a Maisa Rava by Rav Chanan. Havaluhanu Dikli, he had certain date trees that were lining a mitzra de pardes de Rav Yosef. That was lining the property of Rav Yosef, and particularly his grapes. So Hava also tzipori, birds would come to the Dikla, Yasve bedikla, sit on top of the date tree. Vinachsi be pardes, and eventually make its way over to Rav Yosef's kerem, his vineyard. Umafsidilu, and start eating and ruining the grapes. So Amr Lezil Coach, Rav Yosef says to Rava, go cut down your dikla trees because it's attracting the birds and ruining my kerem. So Amr Lezil, so Rava responds back, I gave the proper dal amos, I did the proper hachaka, I don't have to do anything more than this. So says back to him, Rav Yosef, Amr Lezil, hanimila li lanos. No, the requirement of dal amos is only with regards to trees. I've got grapes on my property, but you need much more than dal amos. So then he says back to Rav Yosef, but didn't you learn the Mishnah Bava Basar Daf Chavav? Doesn't the Mishnah tell us Echad Gifarnim Ve'Echad Kolilan? We don't care if it's a tree or if it's a grapevine. It's the same halacha across the board. A dalad amos is sufficient. So you can't make me cut down my tree or distance more. Amalei. So Rav Yosef says, no. You misread the Mishnah. If it's going to be equal, my tree versus your tree, dal amos. My grapevine versus your grapevine, that's dal amos. Aval, ilan legefanim binan tvei. A tree close to a grapevine, that requires more than dal amos. Now it doesn't say how much more, but it requires more. So move over your tree or cut it down. So finally Rava gives in. Rava says, okay, fine, you're right. But still, there's another problem cutting down the fruit trees, we know. Amarle, ana lo kaitzna, I'm not cutting down this fruit tree. It brings a klala. The Amar Rav holds, hai dikla ditan kaba. If a date tree, it produces a kaba, a certain shear of fruit, then it's also lemikse. It's an iser bal tashkis, an iser deraisa to cut down a fruit tree. And on top of that, Amar Rabbi Chanina lo shachiv shichas bari, his son, whose name was Shichas Bari, or maybe just Shichas of his son, his son died, testified Rabbi Chanina. Ella, the only reason why he died was Ella the cuts tenasa below zimna, because he cut down a fig tree before it was the time. And inichalei, fine. So he cut it down too early. So there's halacha, if a tree stops producing fruit, then you are allowed to cut it down. So his son apparently cut it down before it was ready to be cut, and that's why he died early. So on top of there being an iser, it seems that there's a klala involved as well. That's why we take this halachas very, very seriously. So there are a number of hetayim when you can cut down a fruit tree. Let's say a person wants to build a sukkah, and there's a fruit tree that has shade over it on their way. Then for the purpose of a mitzvah, you're allowed to cut down that fruit tree. But nonetheless, the Pischei Tshuva says, the better thing is, there's still a concern of the klala. Yehuda Chassid was very makman on the klala. He says, hire a non-Jew to cut it down, so he gets the klala, and not you. Fine.
He also says that if it's clear that it's mazik, it's also
mutar. So that's actually machlokas rishonim. Yeah, according to Tosfos on the bottom here, Tosfos writes, even if it's mazik, it still is an iser baal tashchis. It's still, and the Kovit Shurim discusses why that is. Shevi al tase.
Maybe not for me if the fruit is real fruit or not. In other words, sometimes if the fruit bearing tree is actual fruit, and sometimes
it has to be edible. I prefer the humans.
So
edible.
Trees,
exactly. That's to my recollection, what I've seen, I don't think, if it's not something that's commonly eaten, then it's not considered a fruit tree for these halachas.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick, get a question?
No, it's fine, because I got confused. This is not Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yosef.
So Tos is right.
Next door to me is an apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
They sold the property to a developer. He cut down the tree and is building a big mansion. It's been a year and a half. It's still not finished. It's nowhere near finished. He's had so much service with that property.
Maybe he has to leave the fruit tree.
Apples. An apple day to the contractor.
Okay, fine. So that's the lacha. So again, as Ricky says, so if it's iser mazik, if it's mamish causing real damage, so then some permit, then you definitely can cut down the fruit tree. But again, Tosfos says, even in the situation of an iser mazik, he thinks it's better not to cut down the fruit tree. Fine. So the Gemara says, so he says back, so Mar, Rav Yosef, inichalei likot. If you want to cut down the fruit tree, you could cut down the fruit tree. I'm giving you rishus, but I'm not getting involved in this iser. Now, the Achron want to know, the Shulchan Aruch actually does not bring down this halacha in Shulchan Aruch of the iser cutting down fruit trees. And they wonder why not. Why is it left out? So the Taz explained, because since there's a siman of a bal tashchis, so it's included in that, even though it doesn't mention in particular cutting down fruit trees, it's meant to be included in a general iser of Baal Tashkis.
Which is interesting, but Baal Tashkis wouldn't apply in the case that you have to do a building in the place, meaning you need it.
Anyway, in economics, there would not be that's part of the heterim. If there's a certain tzorch mitzvah or some other tzorch binyan, there are other heterim. The Tosfos writes in, I forget which masech they're writing now, that it could be Bab Basa. I mean, a different daf. He writes that, let's say the wood is more valuable than the fruit. So that's another heter where you could cut down the fruit tree as well. So the number of heterim, but still, Rav Yehuda Chassid was very machbid on this klala of that happened to Rabbi Hanina's son. Okay, the Gemara now says, Rav Papa havelei hanu dikli amitzra de Rav Huna brei de Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa had his date trees along the border of Rav Huna. And azel ashkechei de hava chafer. Now Rav Papa observed one day that Rav Huna was busy digging a hole in his property, in his own property, in Rav Huna's property. The kakayas sharshav. So now he's cutting off the roots of Rav Papa's tree. So Amarle, my high, what are you doing on my tree? So Amarlei Tanan, where the Mishnah says, "How you shrushim yotzim latoch shel chavero ma'amik shlosha." If the Mishnah says, if the roots are going into my property, I'm allowed to go three trachim deep, kedei shel yakev, so it shouldn't stop my machresha from functioning properly. How machresha? So Amarlei, so hani milei shlosha. That's three trachim, but mar kechafar tvei. But he says, Rav Huna, you're digging much further deep than three trachim. Amalei, so Rav Huna says, Ana boris shichin varos kechafarna. I'm not just digging a little bore, I'm digging deep, I'm going for the oil here. So the Tanan of the Mishnah says, Hayachofer bor shiachu ma'ara, then kotzis v'yorid v'eitzim shalom. I could go as deep as I want. So I'm sorry, your tree's going to be dead in a few years from now, but that's what I'm allowed to do. You're getting in the way of my property. So Amra Papa Rapapa Amri Lechule, he tried bringing a number of different rayas, v'liachilne, he couldn't best him in this conversation. So Rav Huna wins. Ad, until finally Rapapa brought the following raya. Ad Adamar Le, Rapapa finally says, Ha'adam Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, a meitzar, a border, shehechziko barabim, asul lekalkalo. If there's a certain property that the rabbim have been frequently going over, you cannot destroy that. The rabbim already have a chazak on that property, on that path. So too as well, I've been growing my tree for many years and you never dug deep and cut out my roots, so I already have a chazak on this, and therefore you have no right to dig and cut out my roots. So he walked away and he said, okay, fine, I'll stop digging and cutting out your roots so deep. Now, after he left, Labasa Denafik, after Rapapa left, Amar, I'm not sure if he said to himself, Rav Huna said to him, or someone said to him, but it seems that Rashi says, Amar Rapapa, Rav Huna said, I don't know to who he's talking, but he says, Amai lo Amrile, why didn't you give him the following chiluk? Kan besoch shesh esrei ama, kan chutz l'shesh esrei ama. There's a difference between within 16 amos versus more than 16 amos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi besoch shesh esrei ama le'ilan, within 16 amos of the ilan, havi chazaka de ilan. Then you have a certain right, your ilan. You cannot ruin my roots within the 16 amos radius of my tree. Aval chutz the shesh esrei ama, beyond the 16 amos, ain chazaka so chazaka. You don't have a chazaka. Sheapa pisha shrusha mispashim chafei ama. Even though the trees go 25 amos wide, ain and yon kinela besoch tezayin ama. They only draw nourishment with the 16 amos. So what Rav Huna should have said, I won't touch any roots that are within 16 amos of your base, of your trunk, but beyond that, I do have the right to cut it out. So unclear why he didn't give that response. He forgot about it, he got nervous, but apparently that seems to be a very good chilek of where, how far you could cut the roots, even though the guy has established a chazaka, you could still cut the roots if they're 16 amos wide.
What's considered that, I'm sorry?
Does that just mean, I mean, the Mishnah statement is just meaningless?
25 amos?
No, the Mishnah said you could cut the roots if you need.
Yeah, no, so I think that's before a chazaka has been established. You're allowed to.
The question is, what's a chazaka?
Right, exactly. What the Gemara doesn't address, at what point does a chazaka kick in? Is it 3 months? Is it 3 years? So the Gemara doesn't address it. I didn't see any Rishon who addressed it either. But there's some time period.
Unless it's a very long time, then you never get to the point where you have to cut the shore. So
right.
It takes time
for the roots to get there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So now let's say it takes a couple years. Now it's been in my property for a few years, and the roots are coming up, and I don't do anything about it for 3 years straight. So that might be considered an established chazaka, and I can't touch it anymore. But I don't know. I haven't seen anybody address this shear of creating a chazaka. Let's see if anyone talks about it quickly.
That here also doesn't.
Yeah.
Rabbi Gershon uses a lashon ba'avisi ba'avosi ba'avosavosi hechziku bo mikama shana.
So it has to be generations.
My father, my grandfather's.
The
Zaydis tree.
Okay, that's interesting. Chazaka. Usually it's a timing thing. This is not. It's generational.
It's three generations.
Yeah.
It's avosai ba'avosavosai.
Okay. Fine.
Three generations.
That
makes sense.
Okay. The Gemara now says, because of three, you think? The number three.
Yeah,
made,
maybe, I think.
Okay. So the Gemara now says, quotes in the Mishnah, Hayachofer bor shiachu ma'ara kotet v'yor v'eitzim shalom. So if I'm digging a deep bore, I'm allowed to go as deep as I want, and he gets to keep the eitzim. Now, who is he? Who's shalom? Asks the Gemara, by mine Yaakov hadaiva me'rav chista, eitzim shalom, who owns the tree? Amar le, who owns the wood? Amar le, tanisua, we quoting a Mishnah, shar she ilan she hedyo. If I have a tree, I'm growing on my property, and my next neighbor's property is hektish. He was makdish to hektish. So now the Shar Sheila Shel Hedyo, my tree roots are going to his neighbor, Habon Vishel Hekdesh, into the Hekdesh property. The lach is lo nehenin velo mo'ilim. This is a very important lashon. Lo nehenin, I'm not allowed to get hana from these roots, midrabanan only. But at the same time, there is no me'ila deraisa, right? If you get hana from hekdesh, that's a me'ila deraisa. You owe a carbon. That's a iser me'ila deraisa. But this, it says, it's not a violation of me'ila. It's lo mo'ilim. It's not a me'ila deraisa. But at the same time, you have to play it safe, and there's an iser hana midrabanan. So let's understand this psak. Now, Iyamis, if you say Bishlma Basar Ilan Azlinan, if you say you follow where the tree starts, not where the roots go, but where the tree goes, so Mishim Hachi Lomo Ilan. So since the tree is in my property, the Hedyot, so even the roots are really also Hedyot, and they're just a Chumrah. For that reason, Lomo Ilan, there is no Isser Me'ila. Now, Be'ela, Iyamis Basar Karkazin, if you go based on where the roots are found in the Hekdesh property, Amaylo Ma'ilan, why is there no Ma'ila? It should be an Isamila if it goes based on the Karka. So therefore we can conclude that Elamai Basar Ilan Azlinan. We follow the tree. And since the tree is in my Hedyot, in my property, even the roots are really Hedyot Me'ikir Adin. So too, when that guy cuts out the roots, bring it back to Nezek, he cuts out the roots, he has to give the roots to me because it always goes Basar or Ilan that follows the tree. That's the Gemara's conclusion right now. But Ema
Seifa. Is this the case where he's actually cutting, or we're talking about the fact that he's using Hekdesh land to feed his tree?
He's using Hekdesh land. So now the question becomes, are you allowed to, is the din, those roots which are nourishing from that property, is it going to change the status of the tree?
The roots themselves would be considered Hekdesh.
Only Midrabanan.
Midrabanan, and according to one who says that Achar Karka, right?
Well, if you say Achar Karka, we'll see that's the next stage here.
Okay.
But right now, since the Gemara Paskin's there, that it's only an Isser Midrabanan of the getting Hana from this tree, tells us that the roots don't follow where the roots are found, the Karka, roots really go bust to the tree. So the tree is in my property line, everything as part of the tree is really Hedyot, it's really Mutim Mikadin, it's just a Chumra Midrabanan, they said not to get Hana from this tree. But really, you go Basar Ilan. So now bring it back to our case again. So if that guy cuts the roots, even though they're found in his property, the roots really go based on the tree. And the tree is my tree. So after he cuts the roots, he needs to return them to me. That's the first understanding of the Gemara. But then the Gemara says, Ema Seva, look at the end of that Mishnah. It says, Shel Hekdesh Habayim Bishel Hedyo. If it's a tree that's in Hekdesh, and now the roots begin to spread out into a Hedyot property, so the halacha there is the same thing, that lo nanin v'lo mo'ilin. The person shouldn't get hana, midirbanan, but there's also no mi'ila deraisa. Now, vi basar ilan azlinan, if we paskin, you always follow the tree, amai lo molin. Why is it no iser mi'ila? The tree is a hektish tree, it's in hektish property. Ah, the roots are growing elsewhere. We don't really care. We care about wherever the tree is. So this misha has a stira of what you follow.
So the misha is talking about the actual root. Not the nourishing of the land.
Yeah. Using the root. So does it depend on where the tree is based or where the roots are being yonic from?
Okay.
So the Gemara says, "Midi irya, is this really a rye you could bring here? Bigidulim haban lachem ikanaskinan. We're talking about that which grows in addition after that fact. The kasavar ein meila." Bigidul, that which grows afterwards. Right. So the halacha is that when you grow the tree in the Hekdesh property, that tree is vande Hekdesh.
Yeah.
But only that which you're makdish is Hekdesh. Any additional growths after that point, those gidulim, do not grow as Hekdesh anymore. And that's what we're referring to. That's why it's really mutter. So really you do go basar ilan, but when it comes to additional growths, gidulin, that does not carry on the shame Hekdesh. And only an issim midirban is there to get hana from these additional growths. So then that's the first understanding. So we go Basar Ilan, so the roots go back to the Baal HaIlan, in our case, when the guy cuts out the roots. Ravina Amar Lokasha, this is not a difficulty. Kan Besoch Shesh Esrei Ama, Kan Chutz L'Shesh Esrei Ama. It depends. We said before in Rashi, based on the Gemara, that the tree only is yonic within 16 Amos, beyond that, not. So really, according to him, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ravina Amar Lokasha, Reisha Dikatani Basa Ilan Azlidan, the Reisha that says you follow the tree, Haini Besoch Tezain Amo, within 16 Amos. So the roots all the roots within 16 amos are part of that tree. It's all part of the tree. It's all considered shel hedyot in that first case. The seifa, the katani, shel hektish, ba'in besoch shel hedyot, where the hektish tree is starting to overgrow the roots into the hedyot property, lo mo'ilin hainu chutz letezayin. But anything within 16 amos of the hektish tree would be considered hektish as well, because you go basar ilan. The sefer there, where we say it's only asa midrabanan, is referring to the roots that grow beyond the 16 amos. That's no longer considered basar ilan. That's considered independent and nourishing from the karka that it's found in. Okay, again, so this is the review. Ravina says we go basar ilan, all the roots go basar ilan, but only a 16 amos radius does it go basar ilan. Anything beyond that is viewed as an independent root. Now the Gemara says we're going to go three more lines and we'll stop here because the next piece is very challenging and goes deep into the next staff. But the next three lines, the Gemara says, Amr Ula. Ula says as follows. Ilan hasamich lemeitzer besoch sheshe sreyama gazlenhu ve'ein mevin mimenda bikur. A tree that's next to my friend's property within 16 amos, he's considered a gazlan, and you don't bring bikurim from that type of tree. Because if I draw so close, my tree is now being yonic from your property. It's losing all the nutrients and the minerals that are in your property. My tree is drawing out, so I'm being gozel from you, and you can't bring bikurim from such a tree. What's the challenge of why? What's the issue of bringing the fruit? So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, V'ein mevin mimenu bikurim, ein tzarech lahavi mimenu bikurim. You don't need to, he says, to be an asher tavi ma'artzicha. Now it sounds like from Rashi, the fact that he says ein tzarech sounds like it's not really gzela. It just you don't have to because I don't really own it anymore. Yeah. What really brings the tree? It's the nourishment. So now since it's partially yours, I don't really own the tree entirely. Not that it's gzela, but I don't have full ownership, and for that reason, I don't need to bring bikurim. Now, there's a lot of discussion in this Rashi. Now, if I don't need to, that means it's not really Bikurim. And if I go ahead and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohen, that's the problem of Ein Mevin Chulin Ba'Azara. I can't just bring regular Chulin into the Azara. So, is it Bikurim or is it not Bikurim? It should say, Eino Yochel Lahavi Mimena Bikurim. So there's, again, a lot of discussion in the Achronim on Shita's Rashi here. But again, you need to own the property. Now Tosos argues, at least he brings Rabbeinu Chananel that argues, and says no. He thinks that's real gzela here. He writes, Gazan hu ve'einu mevin mimenu bikurim, perish Rabbeinu Chananel mishum de'ein mevin gezel agave mizbeach. It's real gzela here. And you can't bring gzela on the mizbeach, shenemar, ani Hashem sone gezel, ba'avla, uksiv, and brings other psukim. You can't bring gzela on top of the mizbeach. So it comes out from this simple reading of Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel, is this an Isser Gezela, or is this not an Isser Gezela? So I'm just trying to think what the machlokas might be based on. It could be about the machlokas of karka ainin gzel. So that could be part of it. You can't steal property here. I don't know if these nourishments, these minerals are considered karka. So that might be part of the machlokas. Rashi says ain karka gzel. So there's no gzela here. It's just not fully yours. I don't own it fully. And Rabbeinu Chananel might think that no, this is not considered karka here. This is considered I'm using the minerals, and that's not considered karka. In which case, this would be considered gzela.
But then you would be also.
Well, we know you have to be 25 amos from the border.
No, but that's different. That's because...
No, we just said 4 amos
right.
Or 2 amos.
Right.
We just read 2 amos or 4 amos.
So we have the din of 25 amos elsewhere, don't we?
25 amos is from the boar.
Only for the boar,
Right. We just learned in the Gemara, in Bavel it was 2 and Eretz was 4.
So the question is, so why is this, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, why would it be Gzela then?
It seems from the Mishnah that it's a name, that meaning it's a Gaza, meaning that it's not Mirzecha, but it's not that it's a real...
Right, so that's what Tosa, look at Tosa asks on Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosa writes further, Im Tomar, the Perusho, Ula, come on, who does Ula hold like? Kiman savar the kribana nami lo havi the rabbanon lo bayhachak el dal amos, like you just said, ula ula sheishes ama. So that's the question. If it's really an iser gzela, we should require 16 amos, and we haven't found any shita who holds 16 amos. The yesh lomar, some could answer, the ula havi moki masnisin bitsunma kidemoki labereish pirkin. No, our mission is talking about a case where there's rocks, so the roots cannot penetrate into the guy's property. That's why Dal Amos is enough. You've neutralized the issue of stealing, so you just need 4 Amos above ground for the Machrisha. But in terms of Gezela, if there was no Tsunma, then even the Mishnah would agree you need 16 Amos to separate because of that Isser there. It's fascinating, very interesting discussion.
I understand, because we also said you could cut three tvachim.
It's very hard.
There's a sunma, how do you get three tvachim to the guys?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Anyway, again, there's a large discussion in both Rabbeinu Yochanan and Rashi. I will stop here. Again, the next piece is a very involved. You see, there's some pictures coming up, and at least in the Masifta, I imagine the article as well. So it goes well into the next stop. So we'll stop here, and good luck tomorrow on the daf, and have a wonderful Shabbos.